This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. They're really awesome hockey shirts inspired by members of the Colorado Avalanche, typically in a way that you won't find anywhere else. This isn't just logo wear, this is fan wear. This is where you're going to find the Dutchie, you're going to find the Condor, you're going to find Mac 29, and you're going to find a lot of other cool hockey shirts, sweatshirts, stickers, and hats that are not just awesome, but authentic. The ColoradoHockey.com podcast has been all over the map lately, and that's one of the things that we really like about what we do. We're not here to give you stats. We're not here to tell you what Coach Waugh said in the locker room, because that's so well covered by so many people. We would just be spitting out the same stuff that they are, and they do it much better than us, if we're being honest. But what I think that we're good at is getting to the underbelly of hockey, talking about the things that happen with the people around the team, what it's like to be in the press box, what Coach Waugh might be thinking when he sends somebody down to the farm team. These are the things that we really think about and that we really like. And with that in mind, by the time that this episode is over today, we hope to inform you on a couple of things that we think are going on with the Avalanche right now and how they might affect the team beyond Corsi, beyond shots on goal, and beyond time on ice. Before we dig in too deep on this, though, we wanted to first say thank you to everyone who's been on the podcast. Many of them put up with us in ways that you don't know. We get inspired late at night, we give people 5 minutes notice, and we talk to them about things that we never said we were going to talk to them about. To all of them, kudos, and be sure to go check them out. Everybody has their information in the show notes, and they're all worth checking out. One of the people that we spoke with recently is Jessica Canales, and her job is to go to hockey games and collect stats, the kind of stats and the kind of information that you're going to hear coming out of the mouth of people like Jeremy Roenick. First of all, how cool is it to call that your 9-to-5 job? The thing that people do all the time, they go, oh, no, that wasn't touched by him. That's a goal. That's not a goal. The net was pushed off. He shot it from here. There's a lot of people out there who collect stats for hockey like people do at baseball games. They're keeping track of every single shot, where it came from, whether it's deflected, how much time people spend on ice, and she's one of them. It's a thankless job, but it provides the kind of information that you and I love to debate about so much. Is Ryan O'Reilly really doing that much better than Dutchie? Or is Dutchie the guy that we should have kept in the first place? It always comes down to stats and numbers and the kind of stuff that I said that we don't report on, but I appreciate the people that do. And I think that most people don't realize there's an entire ecosystem of people around the game of hockey. Among this ecosystem, and often sitting in the press box, are ex-hockey players who now have jobs as scouts, media, radio, TV, or they're just up there because they can be. Either way, they can impart knowledge to you that you wouldn't otherwise know. And through AJ Heffley, he told me something that he learned by sitting next to a very well-known hockey player, which I'll let him explain later. But what it comes down to is this idea of what's happening on the ice that isn't happening right around the puck. And in this particular case, AJ was talking about Nick Holden, who had pinched on a play and looked absolutely silly for it because the team got it past him, went down and scored. But what really happened on that play was a little bit more in depth than that. And it has to do with the players around Nick Holden. And Nick Holden did in fact pinch, but the players around him didn't support him the way that they should have so that he could pinch without much risk. And by not supporting him, he really looked bad, and Nick Holden has had his moments, but in this case, it wasn't really so much his fault as it was the other players on the team. You have to support the puck, you have to support the player, but you have to be at the right place on the ice to create these opportunities for people to take the chances that win hockey games. So at the risk of rambling here, I am still going to dig down deeper on this one and try to simplify it even more for people who aren't getting what I'm saying. When a winger makes a move back towards the point, that gives the defenseman the idea that he's going to cover for him. So in this fraction of a second that they're both looking at each other and seeing what the body language is, because it's not all verbal communication, Nick Holden has the idea that he's going to have coverage, so he's going to take a chance and try to keep this in the zone. It's something we all love when it works, but when it doesn't work, sometimes it's tragic, like they score a goal against us, and that's what happened in that case. So the communication that you hear on the ice is absolutely vital, but it's not always happening, and that's because you can't say a lot of words in a fraction of a second. Nick Holden looked at the winger looked like he was going to come back, so Nick Holden made his move down the ice, but the winger didn't come back. Everybody looks at Nick Holden and says, that's a horrible play, Nick Holden sucks, let's trade him right now. But the truth of the matter is we need better coverage all over the ice, away from the puck. We need people being responsible for the guy next to them instead of just their game. So I'll be honest with you, I never thought that way. I thought Nick Holden was an idiot for not staying where he should have or for letting that guy get by him. But my eyes were opened by that. And this is what I talk about a little bit with the underbelly of hockey is I wouldn't have known that if AJ Heffley hadn't sat with somebody who explained that to him. And then he explained that to me. How awesome is it to have people like AJ in your world, right? Another member of this hockey underbelly, this hockey ecosystem that brings the game to us in ways that we probably don't appreciate enough is Adrian Dater. I'm going to take a brief pause here to let you gasp or say curse words because I know that many of you don't love him. Go ahead. Okay, So here's the thing about Dater. Dater isn't always wrong. As a matter of fact, he's right more than he's wrong. He has a knack for saying things in a way that piss people off, but often those things that he's saying at least have a thread of truth, and often he doesn't claim that there's any more than that. Case in point, the Duchy trade. Now, there is no official trade in the works for Matt Duchene, but as soon as Adrian Dater said that he had been with the team and he has the idea that Duchene is being shopped, right away, the Twitter sphere freaked out, and rightfully so. I don't believe that he should be traded right now. It would be a bad time to trade him, and I think that the Avalanche aren't, in fact, trying to trade him. I do believe, though, that Adrian Dater did the right thing reporting what he was told and what he has seen. I think what might be happening beyond that, though, is that there is a little bit of gameplay going on here between Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh, Matt Duchene, and the entire team. And by gameplay, what I mean is that I think that they put that out there to inspire the team in general, Matt Duchene, to pick his game up a little bit more, but also to make it clear that the Avalanche are in fact willing to make any trades, any deals, anything they need to do to make their team better. I don't know if that really comes down to Duchy. It certainly doesn't apply to Mac, but it could apply to people like Varley, Pix, Vera. We have three goaltenders who are playing pretty good. We only really need two. We can bring the other ones along that we have in the minors. So what is the advantage here of saying something like that and letting that get out? I think that players need to know that they are still players on a team and this is still a business and that they can be replaced. Like I said, I don't think anyone has the intention of replacing Duchy right now unless he just completely fails or we're so horrible we have to make a move we don't want to make. But I think that what it did is it lit a fire, not just under Duchy, but under the team, who doesn't want to let him down. It gets back to what we talked about in the Nick Holden situation. Now guys are going to play for each other. They're not going to play just for their job or what they're going to do next year. They're playing to make sure that the guys next to them are set up and in a good place. True, this isn't on the ice. Nobody's covering for him on the point, but they are covering for him on the morale and on being a teammate and how they know somebody personally. They want to play good. They don't want to see Duchy traded. They don't want to be traded themselves, and they want to celebrate. They want that thing on the road that players miss when they leave the league. It's not so much the goals. It's not so much the crowd. It's more the camaraderie and the hanging out with the guys on the team and sharing success together. That said, I could be 100% wrong. Maybe Dater's right. Maybe Duchy really is on the trade block. Who knows? The fact of the matter is I think that there's a little bit of both going on here. I think that if somebody came back and said, we'll give you McDavid for Duchy, that's going to happen. I think at the same time, the Avs don't really want to trade him. They just want to see what they might be able to get for him so that they can leverage that better when it comes time to re-sign him. There's a lot of signings that have to happen. Barry, McKinnon, and Duchene will come up eventually too. We need to know what they're worth right now. We need to compare them to other players, and that could have a little bit to do with this too. Either way, this isn't unheard of. This happens every year. Trade rumors are a part of the fun of hockey. Whether you like them or not, people definitely have opinions on them. And like Dater, if it was just indifference on everything, it'd be boring. We love him, we hate him, and that's part of the fun. So take it for what it is. It's a rumor, but it's an interesting one. It's intriguing, and it makes you think, what would I do if I was the GM? What would I do if I was the coach? What would I do if I was Duchy? And this is how you live the life of a hockey fan. The last thing that I want to touch on isn't something that I know anything about whatsoever, but it's something that I think about quite a bit, and it's something that most people never really consider. But what about the players who played a role, maybe not a prominent role on a team, but they showed up every night, they played most of the games throughout a season, and suddenly you find yourself in the waning years of your career. Suddenly, you're down in the AHL, and you're not even on the top line in the AHL. This is happening right now to Marc-Andre Cliche. Max Talbot, ex-Av, is also in the same situation. How do you deal with something like that? It's a little bit more acceptable when it's a Bordy. We know that Bordy wasn't the best hockey player on the ice, but he was big, he was mean, he was tough, and he could put a fist through your head. This will get you a spot on a team in the past, but currently it's not what teams need. There's enough guys who can play amazing hockey and still chuck the knuckles. Think Jerome Iginla on that one. So what must it be like to be that player? Walking off into the sunset on a team that isn't even in the NHL anymore and you're not even on the top line. It's got to be harsh, but at the same time, I think that players understand that this is cyclical. I think that any player who plays in the league understands that they're lucky, unless it's somebody who comes along when they're 18 years old and they just start in the league. It's easy to get in that Britney Spears moment, and by Britney Spears moment, I mean that you have a different reality. Your reality is not the same as the people that you walk across the street with. These are people who came into a life that none of us understand. Everything they need is there. Money is not an issue, and it's much more of a mental thing. It's easy to lose your mind in that if you're not successful, but it's also easy to lose your mind in that if you listen to people like Adrian Dater, like Colorado Hockey, like anyone who has an opinion on you. It's human. It's nature. It happens. So I empathize with these people, and I try not to be too harsh on people like that, but I also understand that this game is a business. We're all part of the hockey ecosystem. We're all part of the underbelly. We're either a GM, a coach, a player, a scout, a stat collector, a member of the media, a fan that's pissed off on Twitter, or just a guy who has a microphone and a podcast. This isn't meant for us to just be indifferent about. This is meant for us to have emotion about. Are you not entertained? Should be the question. And sometimes that entertainment comes with being offended and having something to say about it. And to you, the fans, the people who really make this work, kudos to you. Don't stop being you. Stay awesome.